Cardi, it's getting warmer down here, but it's also getting pretty cold in Norway. But those Scandinavians really do enjoy their smooth nuts. So I'm hoping Danny has taken over his nuts, his bear nuts, his nut care, his wood, his comfy nuts, just to make sure that when he is over in the Scandinavian countries, that he is cherry ripe, nice and smooth. And as you can see, for those that are watching on the YouTube live, Nutcare has got around November, which is huge for them. So there's deals, discounts, and more, all to deal with the Movember cause, which is awesome. So really good cause to get around. We personally have a mate from work that is affected by and gets around Movember. So huge cause to get around. So huge by them. That's why we're proud to be supported by the. Any, at any given Sunday, be supported by Australia's fastest growing grooming brand, Nutcare. Proud supporters, they are giving us 10% off as they always do at the checkout with the code Any Given Sunday. So plug it in, discount will be applied. Always remember that Nutcare, the essential grooming for men.
Brown 45, Brown 45.
You are listening to Any Given Sunday, Australia.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Any Given Sunday Australia podcast, the number one podcast in at least three households, one studio over in Norway at the moment, the Gridiron Australia head office, NFL Australia head office, ABC head office, all of the places, the Grey Cup over in, honestly, don't know where it's being played. Wherever the Grey Cup's being played over in Canada.
In Canada.
I promise that I'll be a lot smoother throughout the rest of the episode than I was from that ad read. That was one of the better starts that I've had. We don't have Danny this week. Again, he is off in Norway, but we do have the ever reliable at Tim Cardi, AGSAU. How are you, T's? Perfect. How are you, mate? I'll start again. How are you going down there?
I'm great, mate. Going good. Come off night shift, so feeling nice and chipper, as you can imagine, mate. Get in early, get the episode done, and then the day is ours.
I can imagine because I went through the exact same thing. So
exactly right.
We're all good. Quick early stuff to get through. I'm really blanking at the moment. But our DAZN Game Pass link, make sure you hit up our link tree. It's got our DAZN Game Pass and our merch store, two real big links to hit. I'm wearing the – it's a little bit chilly in my house today. The energy bill is a bit high.
Is that a blue quarter zip I see?
No, it's still the green. It's just the lights. But
it looks blue, like without a shadow of a doubt, that is blue.
Yeah. It's one of those internet – it'll go out as a meme. Is this blue? Is it green? It means you've got – it means your left side of the brain's stronger than your right, all that kind of stuff. But it is a green one. It is perfect for this kind of weather. And make sure you hit up our link tree. Find all the codes. DAZN Game Pass is less than half price now. It's ridiculously cheap for what you get. And coming into playoffs, which, we've got 8 weeks to go, I reckon I'm just throwing it out there. I reckon I'll get the Super Bowl halftime ads, which we don't normally get over here in Australia. So I reckon that's a big part of getting the DAZN heading into that. But we'll stop talking dribble as I have been for the last 5 minutes. We'll get straight into some pretty big news and injuries. Of course, our news and injuries is going to be one kind of big segment. But as always, it's brought to us by our good friends at C2C Rare Threads. 3131 Service Paradise. There you go. I didn't ever know their address is on there for those that are watching on the YouTube. Hit them up. Any Given Sunday is the code for 10% off. They always bring some real smooth gear. So some huge injury news that has only just come out, Karts. Deshaun Watson, what's going on there, mate?
He's done for the season. I think it surprised a lot of people. Came out, I think, early in the morning Wednesday. So I don't know, I suppose overnight for us or whatever. But, came out. He's got to have season-ending shoulder surgery. So he played – well, apparently the injury happened in the second quarter of the game on the weekend against the Ravens. He obviously came out and played some pretty good football in the second half, which we're going to touch on in our review in a little bit, and look good. But yeah, apparently he was battling through high ankle sprain and the shoulder injury, and they've gone and got it scanned and tested by all the doctors, and they said, no, you got to have surgery to fix that or you risk doing more damage. So as we know, he's got the massive $230 million guaranteed contract for, I think, until 2027.
Yeah, roughly.
So, like, he's laughing. He's getting paid. It doesn't matter so much for him. But I suppose from the Browns' point of view, they don't want to risk further or worse injuries. So they've made the decision to put him under the knife. When they're sitting 6-3 at the moment, looking pretty good in what is a pretty stacked AFC North Division 2. So, like, big implications for their playoff run going forward. There's been a bit of talk about who's going to step up and be the replacement starting quarterback. I think it's going to look like I just remember DTR. I can't remember his full name, but I think it's looking like, with having a full week of preparation, they're more confident in having him as the starter in place of Deshaun.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
That's the boy. So
DTR's a lot easier.
Yeah, DTR is, that's why it stuck with me. But so, and like, you know, people are talking about, do they go out and get a veteran quarterback or someone that's probably available? But
we've said this about every team that's had someone going down. Like, there is not, unless you're going to go for, you know, the Cam Newtons and those guys that have been out for 2 or 3 years, the veteran QBs are just not there.
His name floated now that Levis looks like he's got the starting job at Tennessee, maybe, but you've got the issue of someone's got to come in, try and learn the offense and all that sort of stuff in short notice. And then if there's contract and money tied to it, if you're paying out contracts and things like that. So the Browns GM came out and said, I think they're moving forward with the two guys that they've got on their roster at the moment, DTR and whoever the other, the third string quarterback would be. And they might look at getting another one signed to the practice squad, I think is probably the way they'll go moving forward.
Because they're just not out there at the moment, unless you're going to go real deep and real wide. So they got PJ Walker as well. I reckon he's definitely played. I don't know about starting, but he's definitely played a few snaps this year.
I think he started when Deshaun was out earlier in the year injured, because it was late notice and DTR didn't have the time to prepare, even though he's been the backup, probably more of the backup. Yeah. Like, he'll get.
Also, coming in as a rookie, just to throw him in there. And,
he'll get first team reps at practice this week, and we'll be able to, you know, sort of settle in a bit better. So I think that's the way they're going to go moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Made a great comment, though. Absolutely stacked AFC North. This, like, they have been living off their defense, even though, you know, us and others haven't, you know, recognized. But I think this is going to affect them a little bit more than what we reckon.
Well, I kind of was kind of leaning the other way. Yeah, Deshaun was starting to look like he did a few years ago when he was at Houston and balling out and they signed him. But I think the defense can carry him a bit and they might be able to, it's essentially, yeah, like put the Band-Aid over it, and DTR might be able to just do enough, and the defense, they rely on the defense, and the defense keeps them looking strong. I think they might be able to, yeah, get away with it a bit better. So I think the other way to what you're saying, don't think it'll be as big an issue.
Okay, fair enough. Well, only time.
There, no dramas, but I think just how good their defense is, that'll help gloss over.
They are the number one defense for a reason.
Yes, they are.
Last question from me before we do move on. He's been quite injured since he's signed this $235 million deal. Is it starting to look a bit shaky on the Browns side? Like, maybe have stuffed up?
I think a lot of it depends on what happens next year. If they can get a full year out of him, healthy Deshaun, like, get this shoulder fixed. They're saying he'll be back for the start of next year. Like, if he has the surgery and stuff now, it's not going to be it's not like a 12-monther or anything like that. But the results of next year, I think you'll be able to start to, judge a bit better or you know, give your opinion a bit better of if you think it's been a good deal or not. At the moment, it's looking like it's a bit not that great a deal, just how much football he's missed already.
Yeah. And what happens?
Another question.
What happens if DTR or PJ Walker take them to, you know, deep in the playoffs.
They've got too much guaranteed money tied up in Deshaun. They're staying with Deshaun.
Yeah, fair enough. Nice, easy, quick.
Tied up there, yeah.
The other major, so this is the news side of our segments, double segment. I don't know how much, but I imagine there's been a few more dollars that have been added to our coaches being paid without being coaching circle or carousel, yeah. With the Ken Dorsey from the Bills has been let go after their Monday night shocker, which again we will go into, but let go straight away. Bit of turmoil that we kind of did predict in Bills.
Well, it's just, and I think it's been obvious, like, you know, we don't have people on the inside or anything like that, but like we could see that just something doesn't seem right. And again, it feels like a bit of a band-aid fix firing your offensive coordinator, but there's a lot more going on in that locker room than what meets the eye, it seems like. Like a lot of stuff with Diggs and Diggs' brother, like constantly tweeting out and all that sort of stuff. Like it, and you know, everyone knows the way that Josh Allen plays, and he's an all or nothing sort of player, like quarterback. You get the touchdowns, but you get the interceptions as well. And of late, it's been just the interceptions and not the touchdowns. So that ratio is getting thrown out a little bit this year. But I think they felt like they had to do something. They're not going to bench Josh for the rest of the year.
No.
Unfortunately, yeah, Big Ken's the one that had to fall on his sword.
It's so I was watching the Pat McAfee show as a bit of study, and Dan Orlovsky, who's, you know, been a QB and being in those kind of positions, and he can obviously break it down a little bit better than what we can. And he came out and was saying that the Bills' offense is way too predictable. You know, although we kind of see Josh Allen as the unpredictable, you know, he can run, he can throw, he can do pretty much anything as a QB. The way that they've been rolling, it's basically like Davis hasn't had the year that he had last year. It's basically been Diggs or nothing. Yeah. And he says it's too predictable. Like Kincaid is starting to kind of roll a little bit and get his hands on the ball. Like he scored the other day, and that is good. But you know, it just seems, he goes, they'll line up in, you know, two by two, you know, two wide receivers on the outside with a tight end in there. He goes, you know where it's going. Like they're just too predictable at the moment, and you know, Ken Dorsey is the one who's had to fall on his sword.
Yeah, and definitely that is a huge issue, but it just doesn't seem like that's the whole issue for the Bills at the moment. So, yeah, like I said, it feels like a bit of a band-aid, sort of not knee-jerk move, but like we have to do something.
Yeah.
And like you said, the breakdown by Orlovsky, I sort of heard that too. And it's like, oh, yeah, that kind of makes sense. But it just feels like there's a little bit more going on behind the scenes too.
Yeah. And that's, well, to be the good side of it, it could be the shake-up that they need to be like, oh, shit, actually. We are in a bit of strife. We need to shake it up a bit. Do we know who's come in and replaced him at the moment?
What's his name, Brady?
Tom. Has Tom come in?
Not Tom.
Breaking news. Tom Brady's in.
It's not Tom. It's like...
I have it here. I could just bring it up.
You bring it up. You'll find it.
I could. But, yeah, it could just be the Joe Brady is coming as the interim replacement. But... yeah, just the shake-up that they need and, you know, bring some fresh face, because Dorsey's been there for a few years now and, yeah, could see a turnaround quickly. Would this count as a new coach bump?
No, it's going to be head coach.
Okay. All right. Well, we're not punting on that then this week. They are not my lock this week then.
No, which we'll get into.
Beautiful. All right. We'll get into – so I'll run through quickly all the games – besides the three that we have decided to speak about. But yeah, it was a pretty exhilarating weekend of football. I was lucky enough that I got to catch a few, not most of, but a few of the games. But it started back on Friday, which we've spoken about, the Bears getting the jobs done against the Panthers, 16-13. My Packers went down 19-23 in a pretty...
Oh.
I was actually pretty happy with the game, but a late interception sealed that. Our fate, 19-23 against the Steelers. Colts getting the job done over in Frankfurt against the Patriots in an absolute barnstorming 10-6 game.
Mm-hmm.
Texas Bengals, we will speak about. Bucks getting the job done 20-6 over the Titans. Browns, Ravens, we're going to mention. 49ers, just back to 49ers way, 34-3 over the Jags. Saints, Josh Dobbs getting the job done again. 27-19. Vikings, sorry, over the Saints. Cards, 25-23 over the Falcons in the return of Kyler Murray.
Yes.
Which was huge. Good for him to get back out there, and good for the Cards to bring a bit of light back into that organization. The Lions, 41-38 over the Chargers. Cowboys, 49-17. So that's two games they've won by an absolute bucket load over the Giants this year. Seahawks, 29-26 over the Commanders. Your Raiders getting the job done, 16-12 over the Jets. And the Broncos and the Bills we will speak about. But the first one we'll talk about will be the Houston Texans versus the Texans against the Bengals. So one of many games, I think we decided was six, that was decided by a field goal.
Going with six, yeah.
At the very, very end, which six in a weekend.
Final drive field goal sort of setup.
Huge. Awesome for the program just to be, exciting way to finish. And yeah. I reckon there was a couple more, like the Packers was the same. We were last second pretty much interception to finish the game. So some really tight finishes this week, which.
Yeah, lots of games down to the wire.
Yeah, I love it. And so they got up 30-27. Over the Bengals in what probably shouldn't have been a surprise, but was.
But what?
I said it shouldn't have been a surprise, but it definitely was.
Oh, sorry, but I thought you said, but what? Now, yeah, it was. Well, because we talked about, I think we previewed this game.
Yeah.
And we talked about being in the Natty, Joe Burrow is back and healthy. Yeah, the home team advantage. Like, you know, we like Houston, but we just thought, Bengals will just get it done at home. But, mate, Houston, they're a wagon. CJ Stroud just keeps adding to the his record-breaking rookie year and all that sort of stuff. Like, he had a couple of fumbles. He did throw another interception as well. But, I mean, you take that 23 of 39, only threw for one touchdown this week. But super productive on the ground too with the rushing game.
Yeah, huge.
30 carries for 150 yards and a tutty. So yeah, that would have been a huge huge week for him fantasy-wise too.
356 in the air and 188 on the ground. That's enormous.
A massive game of offense. And
he's kept that CJ Stroud, has kept that receiving core, you know, 172 yards for Noah Brown, 71 for Dalton Schultz, 56 for Tank Dell, just really spreading around. John Michi coming back after his cancer the last few years. Awesome for him to get back on the field. 2 receptions for 25 yards. Like, just incredible. And, like, the Bengals, they did have a bad game. They lost, obviously. But, you know, Burrow still 27 of 40 for 347. Did throw the two interceptions to go with his two touchdowns. But they only had 66 on the ground. Do you reckon that was a bit of a game changer?
Yeah, like we talk about, it could be a bit of the difference. You need the rushing game to complement your passing game. But, like, they were so productive in the air. Chase and Boyd both over 100 yards. Irwin 50. Like, it was a good game. And then it's more just the poise and the for a young rookie quarterback to take him down the field, like that final drive, and then get him into field goal range. Like, it's pretty impressive. Some of the stuff he's doing, and like we talked about last week, yeah, sure, he's offensive rookie of the year conversation, but definitely putting his name up into that MVP conversation. Yeah. This is crazy.
I think huge for the Texans also, and they did that well with their. We said when they drafted well. They bookend, you know, they got their quarterback, but they got solidified their defense as well. So only one sack for CJ Stroud, and he didn't actually lose any yards, but four sacks for a loss of 33 yards on Joey B, just to, you know, keep that rushing pressure on the Bengals and keeping the pressure on Joey B going forward. And it just allowed CJ Stroud one sack for a game. Like, he was just able to sit there, be calm, cool, collected, and that last, you know, I think it was just over a minute drive to win the game.
Oh, mate, it makes a difference. And, yeah, like you said, big Sheldon Rankin's had 3 sacks himself for the Houston defense. So that's massive. Yeah, just get into Joey, pressuring, making him not feel comfortable in the pocket. So, yeah, mate, Houston sitting 5-4, 1 game behind the Jags in the AFC South. So, again, like we keep saying, no one would have thought they'd be here at the start of the year.
And the Jags looking shaky, so...
Well, they didn't look great on the weekend.
So, could be theirs for the taking, which is, like, it still blows my mind 10 weeks in, like,
Awesome.
The next game we haven't
talked about as well. Sorry, just quickly before we move on, D'Amico Ryan's new coach of the Texans as well. Like, he's going to be,
mate, put money on him for coach of the year.
He's going to be in a conversation for coach of the year. So
someone's still delivered coach of the year.
It's all been about CJ, and fair enough. But huge props got to go to D'Amico as well.
Yeah, I wonder what the doubles pay him. MVP and the coach of the year. That'd be little odds.
Oof, pretty good.
Cleveland Browns at Baltimore, getting the job done, 33-31. Now, this was huge. I did watch this game. 9 minutes to go, 17-31. Baltimore absolutely cruising.
Yeah.
Like you said, DJ Deshaun Watson stayed out there, finding out later on under injury cloud. He still threw 20 of 34 for 213, well, one touchdown, one interception.
He was 14 for 14.
Enormous. Which-
Yeah, and it was kind of like it was a bit of a game of two halves as well. And obviously, they did the bulk of the scoring in the fourth quarter, the Browns.
Because I was going to say it was 3 quarters, 1 quarter, really.
Yeah, I was a little bit more in and out of this game. Like the Ravens piled it on in the first quarter, putting 17 points on in the first quarter. And you're sort of thinking, oh, here we go. You know, this is what, and what we talked about, like the Ravens taking a chance to stamp some authority, send a message against the number one rated defense. And I was like, all right, here we go. They're doing kind of what we thought they might. And then the Browns, they just hung in and managed to claw it back. And yet in that last quarter, like you said, 7 minutes to go.
Yeah.
17 to 31.
Well, 9 minutes to go. It was 17 to.
Yeah. So huge for the Browns there.
But a couple of takeaways, huge takeaways. But like you said, the Ravens put on 17 in the first, the Browns 16 in the last. But the Browns were just able to keep the scoreboard ticking over as well. They scored in every quarter. Where the Ravens didn't score in the second quarter. They did score a touchdown in each of the third and the fourth. But, yeah, it just stayed in the hunt, they believed in themselves.
Very first play, within a minute, the Ravens scored a defensive touchdown. Kyle Hamilton with that interception off Watson. And like, you're like, oh, yuck, like that was a bad throw, easy interception, easy pick six, just sort of waltzed in. You're like, ooh, it's going to be a tough day for the Browns here. But credit to them, they stuck around, they hung in.
And another day, like Lamar, 13 of 23 for 223, and they only had 106 on the ground. So they were doing enough to keep in front, but another game where you're just like, oh, I reckon the defense was all over him. So three sacks for 23-yard loss. Like, again, going to what you said, the Browns' defense just keeping them in the game.
Yeah, yeah, and, like, that's sort of what makes me – feel more confident about them losing to Sean is just how good their defense is.
Who got the sacks? Miles Garrett with 1.5, pretty stock standard, but they did share it around. There was a couple of 0.5s in there.
Halfies here and there.
Greg Newsome, 0.5. So, yeah, you're 100%.
Hey, Jeremiah's last name.
Which one?
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah Owusu-Koramora?
Koramora? Yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm happy with a Wusu at least.
That's good. Yeah.
Where's Danny? But yeah, but looking through that, there is 53 tackles, 32 of them solo. So 32 solo tackles as well. So they've got the confidence to go in there and make the tackles, even if two or three players are covered, which is like, it's just a massive lift. Everyone had a tackle. I reckon every single defensive player.
Just about. Ridiculous. Just
anyway.
About.
Huge win, especially, like you said, in that AFC, tight AFC North. So the Bengals have dropped out now of the current playoff picture, but they are right on the but the whole AFC really is like the Jets are still in with a chance. Like it's ridiculous how tight it is on the AFC side, which is, again, good for football.
Great for football. Well, and like we said, the possibly, depending on what happens with the Bengals and obviously the rest of the year, there's still a lot to play out, but could be a chance for all four teams from the AFC North to make the playoffs, which I think we said probably hasn't happened before.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty confident in saying that's never happened. Three's definitely made it, but not four. Not four. We'll stick to the AFC side. Denver getting the job done against the Buffalo Bills, 24-22, in another one of those, the sixth and final game that was decided by a field goal at the very end. And they had to do it twice because they missed the first one. And 12 on the field.
The Bills had essentially won. They'd won the game. And then because, and I hadn't heard it referred to this before, but the NASCAR style of, they did it in the first half, quickly rushed on, like, because the clock was still ticking. They didn't have any timeouts left. So it was just a real heads up, ready, let's go, field goal, bang, kick it. They kind of did the same thing again to end the game. And it seemed like it just rushed the Bills getting out which field goal package, defensive package they were going to run out. Ended up with 12 on the field. And because he missed the kick, so the Bills would have won and then the flag was thrown. It was just like, oh, you're kidding. Yeah. What a way to lose the game. But
yeah, tack on the 5 yards, make it that little bit easier. And it also gave them the time then as well. They didn't have to come and NASCAR it in the second time. Right. They had the time to set it all up.
Yeah.
As soon as that happened, like, well, this is, they're putting it straight through the middle here. Like, the fact that he missed the first one was a bit of a surprise, but because, like you said, they, I reckon it was 47 or 49 yards the first time they did it at the half, which now looks like a brilliant play because it was pretty much most teams, I reckon, would have been like, oh, we'll just take the knee head off. But they go, nah, let's get the field goal unit out there just before the half. We'll have a crack. Slotted it from 49 and they've won by two. So absolutely brilliant play.
And I heard someone say, because he missed an extra point off one, off a touchdown a little bit earlier. And because of what the wind was doing at Buffalo, he had a read on it that like it was left to right or, you know, whatever. And he missed that extra point. And then he stayed with his read for that, for the field goal. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I don't know. That's just what I heard.
But Russell Wilson, 24-29 for 193, two touchdowns. And Josh Allen, 15 of 26 for 177. One touchdown, two interceptions.
Big one there, the two interceptions.
Yeah. And there was a couple of fumbles too. Like James Cook early on, I think it was his first touch, had a fumble.
Two fumbles.
They pretty much benched him for a quarter and a half. They said, nah, you're done. You're not coming back on. Latavius Murray.
When he came back, he looked good.
He looked amazing.
Playing like a man possessed. But, the fumbles, they're killing him. They can't protect the ball.
Nah. Well, that's it. So there was three fumbles in total. Two of them were lost. So they did recover one as well. Like, it was both sides of the ball. I don't know if it was a bit slippery in Buffalo, but, It wasn't a great game to watch, to be honest. Like, it just seemed to be turnovers, overthrows, an amazing catch for a touchdown. I think it was Cortland Sutton, which an absolute toe drag right in the, which they waved it away. And then they went and had a look at it.
Live, he looked out by miles, and then
the ball was. He took it 3 meters outside.
And then they showed the replay, like, oh, hang on a sec, and then they got that angle. From just in front of him, and his toe drag was elite. It was perfect. A great, and to Russell's credit, awesome throw by Russell as well, like after a bit of a scramble too.
Yeah, so he's looking
better. And I don't think he ever lost confidence in himself. Just
being free.
What he seems like, you know, from the outside, but he's looking a lot better. And the Broncos have turned it around a little bit. Like, takes a lot of pressure off Sean Payton too. Which, you know, there was a lot of noise because obviously Russell's got a lot of guaranteed money tied up. If things were going the way they were, like, everyone was thinking, oh, well, they're just going to get rid of Peyton. Made more sense. But they're sitting 4-5 now, still at the bottom of the AFC West, but 4-5, so within striking distance there. And then Buffalo. Well,
Buffalo's 5-5, and at the moment you'd think that Denver's probably looking better than Buffalo. Buffalo's dropped out of the AFC playoff picture. They're sitting 10th and kind of floundering.
So tight in the AFC, like, yeah, it's they got to turn things around there.
That does lead us
for the Bills.
Lead me right into
It's time for questions without notice.
Without notice. About to send you through something for your own visuals personally. But the question is for you. So I've sent you the schedule remaining for the Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
Can they, with the schedule remaining?
Can you do that?
I cannot. No, I wasn't. I'm not clever. I can show it. We want to talk. I've only got one question about that notice because I thought, you know what, we can actually talk about this and talk through the schedule a little bit. Can you see them making the playoffs with the schedule that they have remaining?
Mate, you sent this through and it was like, holy shit, they've got a tough run home.
So I'll go through it. So this week got the they're at home versus the Jets. Then they're away at Philly before they've got a bye in week 13.
Yep.
Then they're away at Kansas, at home versus Dallas, away against the Chargers, at home New England, away against Miami to finish. Mate,
that's so
when I saw this, I don't know about you, I'll get yours in a minute, but I said they'll beat the Jets, lost to Philly, Kansas, Dallas, Chargers, win New England, lose Miami. So I reckon they've only got two wins left.
I'm feeling the same. Like the only two games at the moment that you can see them confidently that you'd say, yeah, they'll win those are the Jets and the Patriots.
Yeah, well, they lost against the Jets to start the season, so can't even say they're confident there. I wasn't confident with it, but I reckon they do get the job done. But then I reckon they go on, like maybe the Chargers, but the other four, I reckon, comfortably get the job done, especially being away most of
them. Put them 7-10.
Yeah, so 7-10, maybe 8-9.
Wow. That's definitely not where we thought they were going to be at the start of the year.
8-9, I don't reckon 8-9 will get you in playoffs this year.
I don't think that'll get it done. Not in the AFC.
No. So
that's a tough run home. They got to turn things around.
Yeah, it's going to help them next year when they finish third or fourth in their division and they'll play the third or fourth of the other divisions. But
yeah.
So we've already had one domino fall with Ken Dorsey, but do you see more falling? Is McDermott in trouble? Is Josh Allen in trouble? Like,
I don't know. I don't think Josh Allen's in trouble. Like maybe, like you said, if he gets a new offensive coordinator and they get a different looking offense, not so predictable, something a bit more. I heard a little bit too about like being able to rein him in. So like plays that are just easy. You know, easy throws to make just to rein him in because, like,
easy check downs.
Yeah, just easy check downs, just make the completion, move the chains kind of thing. So maybe they incorporate a bit more of that. I don't know. Who knows? But I don't see him being too vulnerable. Probably more on the coaching side of things.
Yeah, McDermott might be in a bit of strife, but it's just like I know every team can have an off season or a bad game here or there, but it just seems to be compounding week on week. And they're just not well, and that's what I guess the change in the offense coordinator is meant to do. It's meant to, shuffle things up. But yeah, I guess we'll wait and see.
Just with the Bills too, like there'll be so much pressure because they've been a team that's thereabouts and expected to do well, but then they haven't delivered.
Yeah, so that's it. A lot of pressure on themselves.
That's the big thing. And such a large, passionate fan base. Yeah. That we know about, like the mafia. So there will be a lot of noise end of the year, especially if they don't make playoffs.
Yeah. Add it to the ticker. It's another one to follow, I reckon.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. To finish off today's episode, I think we've finished off stronger than what I started, at least. tomorrow's game, the Cincinnati Bengals versus the Baltimore Ravens, 12:15. On ESPN or KO.
Very friendly time, the prime time.
Oh, it's so good. How good was the 6 a.m.? It was bloody delightful.
Yeah.
3.5, Baltimore is favourite, but they're also $1.50 favourite head-to-head.
Good, I wasn't sure if you'd have that ready or not. I was just scrambling. Yeah.
Unders overs 46. What are your early thoughts, mate?
Unders overs 46. I'll take the overall overs there. Both teams coming off a loss. And then as we sort of said before, huge divisional game for these guys, massive implications for the Bengals if they can't get a dub. The Ravens are sitting pretty up on the top there. Huge game for the Bengals. Oof.
Ravens can kind of put that little bit of separation.
Mm.
But
like really just consolidate themselves at the top.
Yeah. But the Bengals, Oregon, bigger, weird to say, but I think bigger game for the Bengals. Give themselves a bit, like it's only one loss, but I reckon it dented their confidence a little bit. And just the, well, shit, maybe we need to pull out. Because they went on, what, three-game winning streak, four-game winning streak, just to, maybe it's a loss they needed just to really refocus them again going forward and yeah. to come out and to turn it around in 1 week and come out and beat the Ravens, who, like you said, they also come off a pretty bad loss themselves. But, yeah, I think bigger game for the Bengals to try and come out and just a bit of a proven game that, you know, the three games or four games that we did win against some pretty big teams wasn't a fluke.
Nah, totally agree. I think it's a tough week for that's a tough game to tip. I'd probably lean towards the Ravens, I think.
Covering or not covering? It's going to be a close game. They're always a close game. That three line is, again, perfect.
That's such a tricky one. No, I think it'll be close.
Although Ravens defense incredible, I do think a shootout.
Let's go into overtime.
Ooh. Good game to watch. That doesn't help me with school pickup because that runs straight into school pickup.
Yeah, that's all right. What is it? Timestamp? 37 minutes. That'll go to overtime.
Yeah. No, nice. I like it. All right, mate. Enjoy that game tomorrow. We'll be back probably on the weekend to discuss the rest of the slate.
Maybe Sunday-ish, I think.
Yeah. I hope this week's slate of games is as good as last week's. Let's go for 7 games won by a field goal.
Okay, I'll take that. Yeah. As long as the Raiders are in. Oh, quickly, lock of the week. Everyone won. You big.
Exactly. Nah.
You're getting the number one segment. Everyone won. So two of the boys were cowards and just took an easy option. Two of us had a bit of a, you know, a bit more of a crack. So try and encourage everyone to have a bit more of a crack this week. It may be not the most obvious one.
I will definitely not go the most obvious one.
Yeah, good.
All right, mate. You enjoy your day before night shift again tomorrow and we'll talk about the game.
All right, you too, mate.
On Sunday. All right, mate.
Beautiful. All right. See you, fam.